Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Co-Sleeping. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Adriana. And today we're here to talk about travel with our little ones. Amanda and I are going to jump into all of our top tips and tricks for traveling with both babies and toddlers since we've had experience with both.
And I know now that we're heading into the summer months, things are starting to get a lot warmer. The pandemic, thankfully, is starting to slow down. A lot of people have travel on their mind after not being able to go anywhere for so long. So I think it's a perfect time to do this episode and jump in. I know I've traveled by car with my daughter. She's probably taken like 16 to 20 big trips. And I know you will cover a lot of flying because my daughter's actually never been on a plane.
Perfect. Yeah. And Aiden hates cars. Perfect.
So I feel like the biggest question that we get about traveling is always when you co-sleep or you bed share is the whole sleeping arrangement, which is kind of more of like a broad topic. You know, how you even get to your destination, you have to worry about where are we sleeping and where are we staying? And there's so many logistics that go into planning a trip. I know for us, a lot of our trips have always been to Massachusetts home. So we just stay at my in-laws and they have the room is set up for safe co-sleeping. They also have a pack and play in the room. So I would use that in the beginning when Kennedy wasn't in bed with us. I would just put her in there to sleep. And then we got our camper when Kennedy was a bit older. She was already over two. So she has always just slept straight in the bed with us.
We also do have an episode on safe co-sleeping where we discuss a lot of this in lots of detail. The one tip that I will give is that for me, sleeping in a safe way with my son, who is a year and a half now, and we bed share and we always have, planning is just the number one thing that you can do. Wherever you're staying, wherever you're going, whether it's a family member, Airbnb, a resort, wherever it is, just be sure to give yourself plenty of time to scope the situation, the room. Are you going to be able to safely bed share? And if not, make alternative arrangements.
I don't think there's anything wrong too. Like for us, we always stay with family. If you have needs that need to be met for your child's safety, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, hey, do you mind if we put the bed on the floor? And I'm not expecting them to do, you know, all of these things before we arrive. Although most of the time, if I mention one thing, she already has it all done. But I've, you know, gone there and I've kind of started moving stuff out. And I'm like, hey, do you mind if I just, you know, put this in the office and close the door? You know, it's not safe because she can get out of bed. And they've never been like, no, it's always like, yeah, you know, what can I help with? What do you need? And I think most people, when you have babies and children and you're traveling and, you know, sleep schedules are messed up and routines are thrown out of the way. I know like when I have people come stay with us, I want to do everything I can to be accommodating. So I've put mattresses on the floor for my guests. I've moved to the bassinet. I've taken stuff out of the room. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying what you need.
You mentioned that most of your trips have been to Massachusetts and we know that you're in Maryland. What does that car ride look like? How long of a car ride is that?
So it is 7.5 hours. We do it straight and we typically do it overnight. So we'll typically leave Maryland at around 8 p.m., which is also bedtime. And my husband drives straight through and we usually get to my in-laws at about 4 a.m., which is great because everyone's asleep. We just kind of sneak upstairs and we, you know, all of us are able to sleep till about 9 a.m.
So the overnight travel is very intentional.
Yes, yes. When I've done the drive by myself, I've done it by myself without Kennedy, like probably over a dozen times before she was born. And then I've done it with her once. And I did during the day. I don't like driving at night in general, and it is a long ride. But my husband, he would prefer to travel overnight. It makes for a much better time.
That's a really good point, too, that not all of us. I know for myself, my eyesight isn't the greatest. Traveling overnight would be really tricky for me by car.
Yes.
But if you do have someone that is able to do that comfortably, it sounds like it's easier on little ones.
We went through a stage early in the beginning. I feel like everyone kind of goes through it where for a while their little ones hate the car. So when we went through that, the only way that we could really make it there without her being upset the whole time would be if it was overnight because she would fall asleep. So that has always been best. The few times that I have done it during the day, because sometimes we'll drive back during the day just based off of when we have to return to work. My little cheat code is that I'll go to Target or Dollar Tree and I'll get like in the dollar spot, it's all junk. It's all plastic crap that I throw away after, but I get all new toys. And I put them in a basket. And then before we go, I put them in the car. So it's all stuff she's never seen. And it only cost me like $10 to $15. And like I said, most of the time I throw it all away after. but it's all new. So every time she's getting bored, I'll give her one of the new toys and it's new and it's exciting. Because I think of it all the time, like driving in the car is so boring. Like I hate sitting and just being in the car. I have my phone, so I'm like watching shows, I'm on Instagram, I'm creating content. Like I'm busy and I'm still bored.
Do you sit in the back with her?
I used to when she was a baby. Now I do not because I get car sick in the backseat. If we're doing an overnight ride, I'll go in the backseat so I can sleep too. My poor husband, everyone asleep and he's just driving, listening to like his podcasts and zoning out. He's done the drive so many times. We don't even use a GPS. But when we do our camping trips, we go during the day. Last year, we bought a camper. The furthest ride we've done with a camper was Pennsylvania and it was about 9 hours. We went to Florida last month, which was 18 hours. So sometimes, I mean, those longer rides have to be during the day.
So as someone with a very unhappy car rider, we've gotten to the point where the first 20 minutes, Aiden does well. That actually started at around 16 months. So It's only been about 2 months since he started being okay for 20 to 30 minute car rides, which is huge for me.
Yeah. I mean,
literally, if you have a baby or a toddler who has perpetually hated the car, you know how that feels. And when you get to that point where they're okay with it, that 20 to 30 minutes is like life-changing.
What's so great too about where you live, nothing's very far. Like you don't have to drive an hour to go to like the mall or something. So a 20 and 30 minute ride can get you to hopefully where you need to go. Whereas I know like here we live so far away from everything. I have to drive 25 minutes just for Target. So when Kennedy hated the car, it heightened my anxiety and overstimulated me so much. Because when you're in the front and they're crying in the back, there's nothing I can do. I can't jump back there. I have to drive the car.
So what are your tips for when baby or little one is really upset in the backseat in your mid-ride?
So it depends on how far I am. If I'm close enough to my destination, I'll talk to her the whole time and I'll, you know, we're really close. I know it's really difficult. We're almost there. As she got older, I would do like music on my phone and that always really worked really well for us. PBS Kids also has a lot of podcasts, which my daughter now actually is super into. And then as she got older, she got a tablet for Christmas, I think when she was like 2. We've used that for the ride. I tried to do less of it when she was really young, but if we have an over hour and a half car ride, I will use it. But what I do is I keep the tablet up front with us, and then she has Bluetooth headphones and she'll wear the headphones. I'll like pick the music or the podcast, or sometimes I'll even put a show on, but she can't see it. She's just listening to it. And then that way, when we're sitting up front, my husband and I, we can listen to our music or our podcast without having to listen to Daniel Tiger theme song for 4 hours straight. And that makes me feel a little bit better too, because I'm like, she's not staring at a screen for, you know, this whole 8 hour drive, but she's still occupied. But sometimes, I mean, when she was under a year, there would be sometimes that we would just have to drive with Baby Shark blaring and I would be like yelling it and screaming because it made me feel better that I'm talking to her. I'm trying. I'm not just leaving you to cry. If it was a long way to still go, I would pull over. I would get off on the exit and sit with her and calm her down.
With Aiden, I would find myself in situations where we had to be somewhere, let's say a doctor's appointment, and the opportunity to stop and maybe soothe him a bit or break up the trip by getting some fresh air, you know, just parking in a parking lot, popping into a Target, giving him 15 minutes and going back into the car and kind of breaking it up. That's not always an option. If it is, I would do that with him because it is worth taking him down from like a 10 to a 2, 100%. We know that's not always possible. So the one thing that's worked and it's not easy is just soothing him. And it didn't work when he was younger. I'm not going to lie. Me singing to him or playing music, he was just one of those babies that hated the car. So no amount of soothing changed anything, but I was doing my part as his parent to try and support him. And what he did like is if I reached my hand back there and actually held his little hand, he would bring him down a few notches. So he wasn't in full panic. He was just like, I don't want to be here. I'm distressed, but I know my mom's here. She's holding my hand. She's singing to me. Even if he was upset for the remainder of the ride, I always left the car feeling like I did my part to support him.
Yes. And that's the thing too. I never wanted to get out of the car and be like, wow, I just ignored you for 20 minutes while you were crying. Because that goes against really everything that I believe in. Like, I don't want to do that. You know, we hear a lot in like the DMs and we've gotten questions that it's like, you know, are they crying it out if I'm driving to daycare or a doctor's appointment and they're in the backseat the whole time crying? Like, I can't pull over. I have to be at work or we have to be at this appointment. And that's the big thing. If you're talking to them and attempting to soothe them, it's not crying it out. You're not leaving them. You're still in the car with them. And unfortunately, there's not anything you can do. And I know for Kennedy, I noticed a change. She liked the car a lot better when we got her her out of the baby bucket seat and got her like an older kid seat. She was still rear facing, of course, because she was, I think, like 9, 10 months, but she liked it a lot better.
What have people suggested that really just didn't work?
So what really just didn't work is there is a thing on Amazon, and I remember seeing it and I heard about it from a friend, and I thought it was going to be like a lifesaver for car travel, was like a desk. It's a little foldable desk that goes over their lap in the car seat. So we got it years ago and it was a total flop because the weight of the seat is like resting on their legs. So Kennedy would complain that it was uncomfortable. They couldn't reach anything on the sides and she was still rear facing. So if a toy or something, like I would do building blocks, like the mega blocks and stuff on top of those. So she had like a flat surface to build. But when she dropped something, she couldn't move and get it. So then I'd be jumping in the seat, trying to put it back on the desk, or I would do like crayons on the side. Like it has all these pockets on the side, but they can't reach any of the pockets. And I tried it again, probably like maybe 6 to 8 months ago, now that she's front facing, she's bigger, so she can grab the sides. And she still told me, she's like, I don't like this. I was like, that was a waste of $24.99. The recommendation of going to like Dollar Tree and the Target Dollar Spot, that came from my friend Alex. And that's been like my biggest win. The Bluetooth headphones with the tablet and the music, that was all me. We had driven like a couple hours and the whole time she just wanted to listen to Daniel Tiger. And my husband's like, I may go insane. He was like, I wish there was a way that she could just listen to it. And I'm like, why have we not gotten her Bluetooth headphones? My husband and I mean, we've lived, you know, in New Mexico, and we drive from New Mexico to Massachusetts. Like we've driven all over the US. My husband will not fly. So like, if we can, we're going to drive. So for us, I set myself up for success. Like I'm going to make sure like my DVR on my phone is like stocked with shows and I have the best shows downloaded on Netflix. Like we have hotspot in the car. I'm setting myself up. Like I bring a pillow, a blanket. So when we then had Kennedy and had a child in the equation, we want her to be used to these drives too. So what can we do to set her up? You know, we've talked about it so much in other episodes. Parents can have like an expectation problem. I don't want her watching a screen for 8 hours, or I don't want her eating candy the whole ride if it keeps her happy, or fruit snacks, big picture stuff. Okay, if she eats 3 packs of organic fruit snacks in an 8 hour drive, I'm just going to make sure I brush her teeth extra good when we get there. Like, you know, my sister told me that a long time ago, and she was like, whatever you have to do to keep them happy in the car, it's going to be better than listening to them cry for 8 hours.
The car, or, you know, a long flight, which I can talk about shortly, and things of that nature, usually not the best place to try to practice like your best parenting practice.
Yeah. Here, have candy, but if it works and it keeps her happy, like I'm going to lower my expectation. Or if she is watching her shows or a movie and it's been way too much screen time, I know that while we are on vacation, whether we're home visiting family or if we're camping, she's not going to watch as much TV. You know, if we're camping, we're going to be outside, we're going to be hiking or at the pool, or if we're home, we're running around the whole time visiting family, 4 hours of TV in the car. Well, for the next 4 days, she's probably going to watch like maybe 20 minutes. It's all going to balance out. And I will say, when we drive throughout the night, we probably stop once. My husband will get out and he'll fill up the truck and go to the bathroom. He'll come back in and then we'll swap and I'll do that. But when I did the drive by myself, I actually did Maryland to New Hampshire because we were going to my in-laws lake house up there, and it was closer to 13 hours. So I went in right away knowing if I can't make the drive all day and I have to stay at a hotel, you know, I'm willing to do that. You know, when you drive by yourself, you can put on a podcast and go for 4 or 5 hours. But I knew going into it, I was like, I'm going to stop every 2 hours for 15 to 30 minutes. And it ended up being sometimes I'd go 3, 4 hours and she'd be playing or napping. And I think really breaking it up and lowering my expectations going into it, I made it all in one day and it felt good. You know, that trip really, I gained a lot of confidence knowing that I could travel that far, just her and I.
Let's touch upon temperament, because in some ways, Aiden and Kennedy are very different. I do think that knowing your baby or your child's temperament, we could sit here and talk to you all day about what's worked for us, tips and tricks, must-haves, dollar stores, but really knowing your child is what's going to inform how you plan for these trips. Things that might work for us might not work for your little ones. And things that, you know, you just mentioned, Amanda, sound wonderful, but Aiden is really sensitive in some ways, and I know those things wouldn't work for him. Mm-hmm. Talk about, just in general, how getting to know Kennedy and really understanding her has helped.
I think that's so important too, because all of, well, it sounds great, like, oh, I do this, and all of these things. You're probably listening on the other end, like, there is no way I could put Aiden in the car for 13 hours and just drive and make it. I think that plays a big role. You know, if you have a child that's super high energy, they're not going to be able to sit for an 18-hour flight or an 18-hour drive. Or if you have a child that doesn't do well in the car, doing a long ride isn't going to be feasible. Kennedy is just kind of one of those kids that really just goes with the flow. Her personality, her temperament is a lot of my husband's. My husband has that like, hey, I'm just happy to be here. Cool, we're doing this. Like, let's do it. And she has a lot of that too. And I don't know if it's so much from him or it's just because we've been traveling with her for so long that she's very, very flexible. I wonder how we would be able to do all these trips if she wasn't such a flexible toddler, because her nap times are different. They're skipped. She's going to bed early, late. We're eating dinner at different times. You know, when you travel, everything's kind of out the window. And by like day 4 or 5, she's like, okay, I've had enough. I need 2 hours alone to watch Daniel Tiger and chill out. But for the most part, she's usually just, I don't want to say very portable, but she's very like, let's go, let's do this. Where are we going next?
It's easy going.
Yeah. I'm hoping that doesn't change. She enjoys all the trips too. Like, she loves camping. She loves going and seeing people, and she loves being around people. And once we had Kennedy, we actually stopped bringing, we at the time had 2 dogs, now have 1. We actually stopped bringing pets on the trip because that was the thing. We were like, okay, we've traveled, you know, for 10 years with 2 dogs and have had to bring them everywhere. I'm not doing it with 2 dogs and a newborn. Like, that is just setting yourself up for failure. So try to make things as easy as you can. Not everyone can do that. Not everyone has, you know, a dog sitter or a neighbor who's willing to come over and check on them. But we kind of eliminated the stress of the dogs because we knew traveling with a newborn was going to be stressful enough.
One thing that I had seen on social media when I was kind of looking into things that I could possibly do with my son to help him in the car before he started being somewhat okay with it, I saw, you know, one of the comment debates that you see on a post. Someone had posted something about maybe try taking less car rides, or if you know that your child isn't great in the car, maybe you should stop driving in the car. And I was blown away because I was like, this isn't realistic. I can't not leave my house. I just can't. We already weren't. We were in the midst of a pandemic, but I need to go out and buy things. And we have places that we actually have to be sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think the shaming around not doing something that your child doesn't like isn't helpful, but it's also not realistic because there are going to be things that they don't like. There are things that we don't like, and they're just a part of life. So it's not about avoiding anything that's uncomfortable. It's about making those uncomfortable things bearable. It's about supporting them through those uncomfortable things and showing them that it's okay.
I love that because I don't ever know how avoidance is going to fix a problem, because if he's never in the car, eventually he's going to have to be. So what are you going to do? Just years from now, throw him in the car when he's never been in it? That's like throwing somebody into a pool who's never swam before. They're going to have a full-blown panic attack and not know how to cope because they've never been exposed to these. I'm not saying, you know, get in the car and drive for 9 hours while, you know, your child's crying. But I know when you were trying to get Aiden used to the car, you would do a lot of shorter trips and try to lengthen the time if he, you know, if he was happy and doing well, and try to build up to some longer trips.
Exactly. I think in small increments, it was about just building up to that 30-minute chunk where he started to be okay. I'm going to be fully honest here. Maybe all of those things helped, but I swear he woke up one morning, it was right after he turned 16 months old, and he was just okay in the car. Hi, everyone. Taking a quick but important break to talk about our partnership with Thrive Training Institute to provide parents with an affordable and convenient way to become CPR certified online. As moms, we're passionate about being confident and prepared, especially for those tougher situations. I've been wanting to become CPR certified since my son was born. Thrive Training Institute made that a truly accessible option for me. I recently completed their online training through a series of easy-to-follow virtual modules, which you can take completely at your own pace from home. The $47 Refresher CPR bundle is great for those that need a refresher or have never taken a CPR certification course. And the $97 Family Ready bundle includes a childproofing home course and unlimited lifetime access. Each course also provides a digital CPR and first aid certificate upon completion. The peace of mind completing this course has given me is invaluable, and we're really excited to offer our virtual village here a code for $10 off either bundle from now through May 17th. Use the code Coffee and Co-Sleeping, that's one word, Coffee and Co-Sleeping, at checkout, and don't miss this opportunity to give yourself the same gift of peace of mind. Knowledge is power, and I'm so glad to have the certification in my parenting toolkit.
The The thing that I'm avoiding now that I can't even fathom is a plane ride, because we were going to, when we went to Disney last month, we debated on flying because it is such a long ride and the price of gas is insane and you have to pay for parking at Disney. And my husband was like, no, we drive everywhere. We'll just drive. And I was almost kind of relieved because I was like, well, I can't complain. I know he's going to do all the driving and I really don't want to fly because there's nowhere to go. You know, when you're driving and your child starts crying, you can be like, oh, great, there's a Target. Let's go run around. Or there's a park. Let's go do that. When you're in a plane, you got nothing and you got everyone staring at you. Everyone's like, what is she listening to everything you're going to do? And then I feel like when you have a child and you like walk onto a plane, everyone's looking at you like, oh, don't sit next to me. I hope that baby's going to be quiet.
You're not wrong, but you're also not totally right, because what you're not taking into consideration is there are also many other parents with children. So
yeah, that's true.
I have not yet taken a flight where it's just Aiden and I. There's always a handful of other parents who are in the same exact boat. We usually have like those little bonding moments as we're pacing up and down the aisle with our little ones if they're upset, you know, and there is that even sense of like parental community on a flight. As someone who traveled a lot before having Aiden, I was always incredibly aware that there are going to be kids on the plane. There are going to be babies on the flight. There have been flights where there's been a screaming baby the entire time. There have been flights where there are a bunch of kids and, you know, I was knocked out or watching a show or whatever, and I couldn't even tell you where they were. So it's just a part of life. You know, there are going to be kids on planes. You know that people travel with their children, their family. And I've never been on a plane where it's just Aiden and I and all eyes are on us. And there's this like expectation for he and I to just kind of seamlessly move through that trip without disturbing anyone.
Pre-kids, I flew a lot before I was a parent. I feel like I still had that understanding that I almost, like, if a child was upset on a plane, like, I felt worse for the child and the parent than everyone else that was on the plane. I wasn't stressed out. I just put my headphones in, like you said, kind of zoned out and listened to my music. Whereas, like, this parent now is pacing up and down the aisle and trying to calm their child down. And, like, hello, the child's really upset. Like, this sucks for the kid who is experiencing something that they don't really know what's going on. And I've heard that their ears will pop like ours do when they get off, or maybe they're hungry, or, you know, they can't sleep on the plane because they're uncomfortable. There's so much more that goes into it than just like the passengers being uncomfortable.
I am happy to walk through my plane travel, my little mini expertise here. Mm-hmm. So Aiden and I have traveled now twice to Bosnia from Massachusetts. It is in total about a 15-hour trip. It is two flights. You can take more than that, but for us, it's two. Must-haves. I have taken the trip with him when he has been both 9 months old. On the way back, he was a year old. Just very recently now, he is 18 months old, and we just made the trip over. So I will talk about must-haves for both babies and toddlers. Something that is an absolute must-have for babies, I would bring a very easy-to-put-on carrier or a sling. I'm not talking about the big ones. I'm talking about the wraps. Outside of takeoff and landing, you can actually just snuggle baby right up in there, especially if you bed share and your baby's just used to being close to you and that comfort and security. You can wrap baby right on your chest and they can sleep on you on the plane.
That's a good point. And just leave them in the baby carrier?
On your chest, like in the wrap.
When you go through security, do you wear him?
What I did when I solo traveled this year is he would be with me. I would carry him. And they would just check us both out after we went through security.
And I've always seen other people, somebody like push the stroller on the other side or like grab a woman's suitcase. Like, I feel like people are willing to help.
I have found that people are actually very helpful and right, especially if they see a parent alone traveling with a child. They're more willing to step in and help you out where you might need help. Second thing is that if you're traveling with milk, either pumped milk or formula, mention that at security for sure. They will allow you to travel with it. It's allowed for all airlines, of course. How could it not be? It's just something you should mention so that they can flag it when they're checking your carry-ons at security.
Is that allowed to be over the 3 ounces? Do you know?
It is. It is. If it's specifically for a baby. If it's breast milk or if it's formula for a baby, they will allow you to travel with it. Aiden was breastfed, still is breastfeeding. I brought a bottle of pumped milk last year for him just in case he wanted the sensation of sucking on a bottle. I heard a lot about ears popping. We breastfed through both takeoff and landing, and I did have that bottle of milk just in case. And he actually did drink it at one point on the flight, so I was glad I had it. Making sure that you're stocked up on that, or if you're just exclusively breastfeeding, that's wonderful too. It's something that you definitely want to be doing at takeoff and landing for the ear pressure for baby. The other thing is all airlines will have a bassinet on flight, a few of them. for certain aisles, certain seating arrangements you can make to make sure that you have that bassinet. It's just something that you want to call ahead of time, check in with the airline, and ask to use it. Aiden and I, like I said, co-sleep, bed share, so he slept on me. I did not buy him a seat when he was 9 months old, 10 months old. He was little. He wasn't walking yet. He was on my lap. And they will just give you a like little baby belt that you attach to your belt to have them strapped in when there's turbulence or you're landing or taking off. But this year, I actually did buy him a seat. I planned well ahead. I found super cheap tickets and I bought him his own seat because knowing your baby and being prepared is so important. Aiden is an extraordinarily mobile little guy and he goes to bed at 10 p.m. So there are no flights that really lined up with bedtime or made it easy for me to just be able to get there, exhaust him, and hop on a plane. So I knew that I was going to need to have a little area for him where he could move around a bit and be a bit mobile. There was just no way that my almost 30-pound, 18-month-old boy was going to stay on my lap for an entire flight.
No, I could see if it was like I know Maryland to Massachusetts is actually, if the flight's under an hour, I feel like something like that you could easily like plan during nap time or have him on your lap watching a show for an hour, but 16 plus hours, there's no way. I think over a year, I don't think there's any way that I could just hold them on my lap the whole time. And even just when you travel, having that extra seat, like if you wanted to put something down and or you have to, you know, take something out of your bag, having that like room to maneuver a little bit, I feel like definitely comes in handy.
Exactly. So if you're able to do it, buy the extra seat. They will discount if you let them know that your child is under two. I think they even do discount for ages 2 to 12. Depends on when the flight's happening, where you're going. There are a lot of stipulations. I always recommend calling because doing it online, you can't really have those conversations. But once you get someone on the phone, you're able to walk through all of that and they can let you know what they're able to do and how they can accommodate you.
When you didn't buy him a seat under two, what did you just show his birth certificate to prove that he was not 2 years old?
No, because we had passports.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Because you were traveling internationally. So that has.
And to Amanda's point earlier, lowering expectations. There's just absolutely no way to plan for the perfect trip. You can plan for the perfect trip and it might not go perfectly. I overplanned last year and things went so smoothly, I could have done without half the things I brought. Must-haves for toddlers, snacks. Any and every snack that you can imagine, pack a bunch. Plain food is terrible. Bring what you know they like. Just have it on hand. It's a distraction. And it's also nice to just have something that you know they will eat for a longer leg of the trip, even if you're flying overnight. They're going to wake up. They're going to, you know, be a little bit thrown. Snacks are a lifesaver. I stay away from toys because, at least for my son, toys being interesting for a long period of time is not a thing. He might play with something for 2-3 minutes and then he's done and he's on to the next thing. So toys are bulky, they're heavy, and they typically don't distract a child for very long. What I do is I get new books, paperbacks, really thin paperbacks. He loves looking at pictures. He likes when I show him words or pointing to things or telling me where something is. So books can capture his attention for a little longer. Even if it's 15 to 20 minutes and you pop a book out every hour or so, it's a chunk of time. Every little bit helps. Sticker books as well for toddlers. If your toddler loves stickers, trust me, no one's going to freak out if you leave the plane and there are a couple of stickers on, you know, the seat that are easily peeled off. I will bring like a blank page for him and just let him play with the sticker book for a bit. And that keeps him very preoccupied, but also doesn't take a lot of space up in my carry-on.
Do you know what I really love too that I've used a lot in the car? Melissa and Doug, they have sticker books and they come with like these pages and they don't stick to anything but those pages. It's like a silky material and they're reusable. Like Kennedy will put them on the window of the car. So they could even put them on the window of the plane. And like you said, it doesn't take much to peel them off before you get off. This is not a sponsorship or ad. I just really love Melissa and Doug, everybody. They have like those color wows or the water wows where you fill the pen with a little bit of water.
We actually do use the same Melissa and Doug sticker books where they're reusable. Another thing that I would say is a must-have is a really soft, portable, compact diaper changer. So just something that easily wipes because you do not want that baby touching every surface in every airport and airplane. Just having a diaper changer that you can easily put into a carry-on that's lightweight, but that you can also wipe easily if there are any unexpected accidents. I use the Skip Hop one and I ordered it off Amazon and it's wonderful and it is very lightweight. And the other thing that I was crazy obsessive about last year was hand sanitizer. They actually do sell baby hand sanitizer with no alcohol, all natural hand sanitizers, and kids don't love washing their hands, or they might love it, but it takes a really long time. If they do love it, they want to stay by the water. So for Aiden, who is my little water baby, I will just buy hand sanitizer and pack my suitcase up with a couple of those and just sanitize his hands throughout the trip. That is a must have. And I think, pandemic or not, that's something that everyone should invest in if you're taking a flight.
Do you know what I've always wondered too? I know for a lot of people, a huge must-have when they get to their destination is obviously a car seat. I know you can rent them at some places, because when we just went to Myrtle Beach, that's what my sister-in-law did because they flew. What do you do? Do you bring his car seat like attached to a stroller? Or do you
No,
okay.
I do not, because when we go to Bosnia, the trips are so lengthy. Last year I was there for 2 months. This year I will be here for 6 months. So I actually have little stroller and car seat for him here, only because when we come, it's for such a longer period of time. But if you do want to bring a stroller or a car seat, you can check them at either the desk when you first go in to check in, or at the gate. So if you want to use, let's say you're taking an international flight, you want to use your stroller throughout the airport, you know, baby sleeping, or it's just easier to get around with them, or they're not mobile yet, you can actually use your stroller for the entirety of the time that you're in the airport. And then once you get to the actual gate, you can check the stroller.
Okay. Because I've seen a lot of people, I'm just thinking like, our car seat is so heavy. I don't know like what, like how does that maneuver? But I guess if you only have to bring it to the front check-in area, that's really doable. And then it's just checked like your suitcase would be.
The last must-have that I have is a blanket and a change of clothes. And by change of clothes, like maybe a couple, because you don't know what's going to happen. Flights get delayed. Long trips could be even longer than you anticipate. Baby might not feel good. They could get sick. You know, so many things could happen. A couple of extra sets of clothes for baby, and always like an extra shirt for yourself is just a must. The plain blankets, especially if you're sleeping with your baby and you're in the same seat, you're going to want a separate blanket for them. So I always just bring a lightweight little blanket for him. I'll dress him warmly and I'll layer him, but I also bring a small blanket, or I will bring a swaddle, which he hated as a newborn. So I have a bunch of swaddles. I'll bring a swaddle. It's just very lightweight, easy to pack, and I can wrap him in that when we're on the flight.
I have so many unused swaddles. As you're saying that, I'm laughing because I remember buying and trying like every single fancy brand, and some of them were like $40-$50 and none of them worked. So it's a great idea using them as little blankets.
Just a couple of things that I would say are must-knows regardless of how old your baby is, whether you have a baby or a toddler or newborn. Never board the plane first. It's just more time that you are sitting and that you're stationary in the plane. For those of you that travel by plane, everybody getting on the plane can take a really long time. You're literally just sitting on the tarmac for like 30 to 40 minutes before takeoff. So if you can kind of temper your anxiety, or if you're not a super anxious person, I know some people are like, I just need to be on the plane. I am like a, as they're closing the door, diving through kind of person. Aiden or no Aiden, that's just like my way of thrill seeking. So I will wait until the very last moment where they're like calling me over the intercom. You don't have to go to that length, but definitely don't board first, because you will be on that flight for quite some time. And especially for a longer trip, you just want to minimize the amount of time that you're on the plane. Also, you don't need a lot of toys, not only because they're bulky and take up space in your carry-on, but the airport is such a stimulating place. There is so much, you know, they're usually glass and you can see all the planes and people coming and going. And it's just, there is so much going on that baby or toddler or child is already incredibly stimulated. Those are the toys. Them being able to kind of take this all in is the experience. Definitely don't feel like you need to find ways to entertain them before the flight. There will be plenty there to entertain them with. So take advantage of just being in a new environment. Anything that you bring is going to be more for that longer flight.
That's true. They're not going to sit and play with like an old toy from home, or even a new toy. They're not going to sit. That's not going to keep their attention long when they're at a place that they've never been.
Those are kind of my must-haves. And again, my flops or my skip-its would be lots of toys. You just don't need lots of toys. And another one is a sound machine. I've seen that on like every must-have for baby travel and toddler sleep. The plane basically is white noise. I don't know if anyone's ever been on a plane, you know. It's very, it almost sounds like a white noise machine just being on the plane. It's like a massive white noise machine. There's like a kind of like a whooshing noise that's like very present that you can only not hear if you pop in headphones. The plane is white noise. Even if you have a small portable one, you don't really need it. So I've always been confused when I see that on the must-have lists that people will put together.
I feel like if you ever got to a point where you needed one too, I would just pull up like a YouTube video or Spotify of like rain. I feel like that would just be one less thing to carry. You know what I mean? Our phones can do everything now. Why am I going to bring a little? Because I've seen like those little soothers, but it's just more crap that you have to throw in your bag.
And if you do the trip once, wherever it is that you're going, and if it's like a longer trip, or even if it's like a 3-hour flight, that's a long time for a little one. I overpacked the first time because I know myself, right? Like it's important to know your baby, but it's also so important to know yourself. And I knew, okay, what's going to stress me out more? Not having things that I wish I brought and maybe traveling lighter, or being bogged down by all this shit, but like being really glad that I have it. Mm-hmm. I knew for myself that I would rather like have a backache and just have everything at my disposal as opposed to wishing that I had brought something. So I definitely packed heavy that first trip. I didn't use half of the things that I brought. And then I just kind of from there understood for the next time what I may and may not need. Mm-hmm. What's like a definite, don't worry about it this time. And what was just a staple. Doing it once or twice, and I'm sure you feel the same about the car, will inform how you do it from then on.
And that's why I love driving, because you have no restrictions on size or weight or like the amount of liquid you can bring. So I just bring everything. And I'm the same way. Like our last trip, I brought like a stepping stool. My mother-in-law's like, I literally have 10 of these. And I was like, yes, but I needed to make sure it was the right height. And it stressed me out less dragging it around than it would have if I didn't have it.
Another thing for air travel, especially if you have layovers, which we do for every time we go to Bosnia, we go to Germany and then from Germany to Sarajevo, I always make sure that I have an ample amount of time between flights because while like running through an airport in dramatic fashion and like jumping through the door is fun for me as like a non-parent in the past, it's not with a baby. So everything takes longer with kids. Like we all know this. It is just law. So just make sure that you're giving yourself plenty of time. If you typically go to the airport early, go even earlier. There's just, everything's going to take a while and things happen that you don't expect, right, with kids. So giving yourself plenty of time, even if it makes for a longer time that you're in transit, is better than stressing and then possibly missing a flight or coming across some kind of an issue and then getting stuck.
I feel like for international, I feel like a lot of the layovers are typically a bit longer anyway. I know there's been some, like when I've looked at domestic flights and it's like 37 minutes, even as like somebody with no kids, I'm not going to be able to make it over to the other side of the airport in 37 minutes.
And if you're traveling internationally, I mean, unless you're like a world traveler, we don't know the airports, you know, like going to other gates, it can take like a, what are those little buses called? Like a shuttle. It can take a shuttle to get to your actual gate and then like a 12-minute walk. So these are things that you don't necessarily think about. And even an hour, it's just not enough time. You want to get off. You want to maybe use the bathroom and figure out how you're going to manage your baby while you're doing that and grab a snack and then figure out where your gate is, you know, find someone that you can communicate with to help you get there. There are a lot of things that you need to take into consideration and they're not the end of the world. It's not a big deal. You know, fun things can even happen on these like unexpected adventures. And I have wonderful like memories of Aiden and I, and I would agree, Amanda, it does give you this sense of pride when you do something like this with your baby alone, right? Mm-hmm. You feel like you can kind of tackle something bigger with them and it brings you closer together too. So I've loved traveling with Aiden and I've done it with family. And this year I did it alone. It's doable. And I think one of the biggest takeaways is just having those expectations in check.
And I don't even know if I would say like doing longer trips definitely is easier having Mike with me because I know that if Kennedy is upset or even if she drops her fruit snacks, like I can just jump in the back seat and grab it. But I agree, having that kind of sense of accomplishment that her and I did the trip alone because I was so close to canceling it. I was like, I can't drive all the way up there by myself. And then my husband was the one who was like, why? Like you've done it a million times. So has Kennedy, like just, you know, plan for the unexpected almost. And we did. And then when I got there, I was kind of like, yeah. And she even kind of felt that too. She was like, that was so fun. Remember, you know, we stopped at this place and it kind of gives you that little bit of closeness together that you guys were able to do something together.
Yeah, exactly. My sister did the trip with me last year. And don't get me wrong, it's wonderful when you have someone there with you. I didn't really sleep this trip because it was just too much. It was too much. It was too much to manage, too much going on. I was overstimulated. Even when Aiden was groggy, it was hard for me to sleep. But with my sister there with me last year, you know, we kind of took shifts and we kind of managed who was taking a couple of hours, who was going to manage Aiden. That's how we got through. And it felt a lot nicer to even just have someone there for moral support, you know, going from country to country with a small baby.
And everyone knows too, with children, you can always use an extra set of hands. I don't know. I feel like my hands are always just full of junk. I just don't have enough hands. I do have another trip probably planned in the future of just Kennedy and I. And now that she's getting a bit older, I think it does get a bit easier. But then it's, I feel like every season of motherhood brings its own challenges. So I'll be curious to see kind of how we navigate trips in the future.
One thing that I hesitate to say a little bit, because it is coming from a place of really from a place of privilege, is don't not take the trip because of your kiddos. You know, if you're able to take the trip and if you're in a place of privilege where you are lucky enough to be able to travel with your child, don't let the anxiety or the perceived difficulties stop you from doing it, because you'll make some of the memories of a lifetime, their core memories, your own memories. These are things and these are moments and these are experiences that are just, they're incredible. They're amazing. They're fulfilling. They're hard as hell. Mm-hmm. There are things that just you won't expect that'll happen, but that can happen if you're sitting at home too. So
exactly.
If you're in a position to be able to do these things, you know, we're like, oh, buy the extra seat for your child because my son is really active. I mean, I understand how that sounds. And I am completely aware of really the privilege that the position of privilege that I'm coming from in being able to say that. Given that though, if you are able to take these trips and make these memories, don't let any kind of stress around it stop you, because it is worth it.
I'm so glad that you brought this up, because when we lived in New Mexico pre-kids, we lived there for 4 years. I mean, that was my first, both of our first time living out on the West Coast, never been to any of those areas out there. And we never traveled. We never went anywhere. And it was, you know, we were young, so we didn't have, you know, the finances. We couldn't take time off of work. But I also didn't have like a big desire to go to like California or, you know, Vegas, all these places around New Mexico. And then we moved here. And that was like always my biggest regret while we lived there, that we didn't take advantage of being so close to, you know, this whole other side of the country that we never got to experience. So after Kennedy was born, I know a lot of people are like, you know, after you have kids, you're never going to travel again. And that was one of the big things that my husband and I were like, no, we're making this a priority, because we know what it's like to not do that and, you know, kind of miss out on things. And I'm so big on presents over presents. You know, we'll buy less toys. And, you know, I'm not one who's buying tons of clothes for me or my daughter. Like, we would prefer more to take these trips together. And that was the thing when we bought the camper, we kind of reevaluated our budget and was like, so now a lot of our fun money that we have, you know, things that we save up for are now going to be these trips rather than, I don't know, whatever other stuff we were spending it on before. We were just really trying to see what we wanted to do as a family. And I agree, these are a lot of my daughter's core memories. And I don't have many, you know, memories of going and doing family vacations and trips and seeing a lot of things growing up. So it's really nice that we're able to do these things for our daughter. And I know, like, I work part-time and a lot of my coworkers are always like, where are you going this week? Where are you going this week? So I agree. I do understand the privilege that comes with being able to take all these trips.
And honestly, if you're like, I have a few diapers and a onesie, I can afford the plane ticket, but like not much more than that. And this is what I've got. Do it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to survive, baby's going to survive. Mm-hmm. These are just things that might make it easier. You don't need the damn sticker book. Baby doesn't need the damn sticker book. Mm-hmm. Those 15 minutes aren't going to make or break the trip. You're not going to look back in 10 years and be like, I really wish that we didn't go on that vacation, or that I didn't take them on that trip, because that like hour on that one layover was such a bitch that I wish we didn't do it. That's just not going to be where your mind is, where your heart is. Those memories fade a lot faster than the memories of the things that you did together and that time well spent. So if you can not invest in a single thing that we suggest today, and you can only invest in the actual trip itself, still take it.
I love that, because looking back on the trip that Kennedy and I took a year ago, I don't remember any of the not so great moments. And I'm sure there was tons of them, driving, you know, 12 hours each way. I'm sure a lot didn't go as planned. And I'm sure there was a lot of hiccups in the trip, but like looking back, I don't remember those moments. But I remember her like trying Burger King for the first time at a rest stop, wearing like that cute little crown that they give. I have those memories. That's so important to remember, because there's going to be hiccups no matter what you're trying to do. Just going to the grocery store most days are difficult. So it doesn't matter what you're going to do, there's going to be hiccups. There's going to be difficult times. I saw a quote online that was like, moms don't go on vacation. They just take care of their kids in a different city. And it's like, well, at least you get a change of scenery every once in a while.
Yes. Thanks for listening. We will leave some of these tips on our page and we'll catch you next week.